Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
We meet again.
Well, my good friend and neighbor, this is Phil Nee. I hope all your trails are happy. We'll talk next hour after we put our little records away on today's morning show. Our 9 o'clock news update is next, sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, a full-service jewelry store featuring a wide variety of styles, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games. It is 41 degrees on the Wirtz Floor and Home Thermometer at WRCO-FM, Richland Center. The time is 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Some sites are back up and some users are still reporting site and app outages after Amazon Web Services crashed overnight due to a problem in a data center in Northern Virginia. They're working on it. At first, French officials said the Louvre would reopen today, but it remains closed as the investigation goes on into the brazen robbery. Several people disguised as construction workers broke into the museum Sunday, making off with centuries-old jewels.
The thieves look to have dropped a blowtorch, the power tools they used to get in gloves. Forensics experts are going to be poring over those items to find any clues to make sure they find these items before they disappear forever.
ABC's James Longman in Paris. President Trump doubling down on his threat to cut off U.S. aid to Colombia after the president there, Gustavo Petro, accused the U.S. of murdering innocent fishermen in the Caribbean. The White House says it was targeting drug dealers. 7 million people showing up nationwide this weekend for No Kings rallies and marches against the Trump administration. This is ABC News. A new study published in the journal Pediatrics presents fresh evidence that feeding your children peanut products very early in life helps reduce peanut allergies later.
Researchers in Philadelphia found peanut allergies in young children fell by 43% and overall food allergies dropped by about one-third. This after the American Academy of Pediatrics released new infant feeding guidelines in 2015 and again in 2017, encouraging parents to introduce peanuts and other allergenic foods at around 4 to 6 months of age.
That's ABC's Maggie Rooley. Egg allergies have now become the most common food-related allergy. Peanut and milk allergies have become more rare. The horror sequel Black Phone 2 topped the box office charts over the weekend, $26.5 million in ticket sales. AAA predicts next year will be a record year for cruise travel, with nearly 22 million Americans going on some sort of cruise. The most popular destination is the Caribbean. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
They say the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's certainly true at the Phoenix Center. A longtime favorite in Richland County, it remains the go-to destination for bowling, great food, and lasting memories. It's where friends gather, laughs are shared, and good times roll, literally. Open every day at 11 a.m., the Phoenix Center continues to serve up favorites like their legendary pizza and friendly atmosphere. Call 649-7469 for more information or to carry out.
Good morning. This is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. October is here and the fall colors begin to show. Opals are the birthstone for October, and they feature many colors in each stone. Stop by Pamela's and see the large selection of amazing opal jewelry at Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Learn how you can own a home without needing 20% down.
A high in the upper 60s today, a 30% chance of late afternoon showers. Breezy with showers tonight, ending a bit after midnight, a low of 43. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, blustery, and colder. Scattered light rain is likely, and a high of 50. Tuesday night, breezy and brisk with scattered light rain and drizzle, a low of 39. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chilly, and breezy, a few sprinkles possible, and a high of 50.
Hello everyone, Brian from Walsh's. Spring into savings with hot steel deals, plus heavy-duty storage totes, 15 or 27 gallons, your choice, for just $7.99. Cook outdoors like a pro with the Weber Smoke Wood Pellet Grill for $7.99. Don't forget, buy two, get one free on select First Alert, smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, and fire extinguishers to keep you and your home protected. Stop in at Richland Center, Ace of La Crosse, or Muscadet, and always we appreciate your business.
Renting your place? Then it's time to protect your space. With renter's insurance from Julie Karen State Farm, you can cover what matters most, your furniture, electronics, clothing, and more, and for a price that's surprisingly affordable. Whether it's a small apartment, a college rental, or your first home away from home, we make it simple. Plus, you'll get the remarkable local service you can always count on. Call or text Julie Karen State Farm today or start your quote at juliekarens.com. Renter's insurance that protects your things and brings you peace of mind. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Town Taxi, Richland Center's only locally owned and operated public transportation service, is the home of the Free Ride Fund. The Free Ride Fund is about giving back, and you can help today. Giving back in the form of transportation. That's right, we offer free healthcare transportation to those in need, giving our senior and disabled residents the freedom to spend their money on more enjoyable things. If you or your organization would like to help, call 608-647-3114 today. Town Taxi, keeping RC on the move.
Move.
This season, make the short drive to Spring Green and take a tour of Taliesin, Frank Lloyd Wright's legendary home and studio. Tours depart from the Frank Lloyd Wright Visitor Center daily through October and Fridays through Sundays until mid-December. Visit Riverview Terrace Cafe for breakfast or lunch and enjoy scenic views of the Wisconsin River. It's the only remaining Frank Lloyd Wright design restaurant in the world. You can also discover unique holiday gifts at the Wright Gift Shop. Learn more at TaliesinPreservation.org. The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. Today on The Morning Show, it's our day to talk to a couple of friends back in the studio for a monthly visit. Tony Kurtz of the 41st Assembly District and Todd Novak, representing the 51st Assembly District, in to chat with us today about goings-on. Hello, gentlemen. Good to see you both today.
Good morning, morning. Phil.
Yeah. So how's farming right now, Tony?
Farming, I mean, it's okay. I mean, yep. We've had some pretty decent weather, and so I know a lot of beans have been taken off. A lot of people have got a lot of corn off, especially, I think, silage is done. I think high moisture is pretty much done. Now it's just waiting for the rest of the corn to dry. I think people put up a lot of hay this year. It was a good year for hay. It was a little difficult sometimes to get it dry, but all in all, I think, you know, as far as the commodity side of the house, we're doing okay. I mean, obviously prices could be better. I mean, if you're raising cattle, you're doing pretty doggone good. Dairy's still hurting, and the grain guys are hurting a little bit too. But
a little frost in the river bottom as you made your way today, Chad.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see it. But it is the season. I guess we're fortunate. It's almost the end of October, and it's been beautiful. I guess the time is coming soon, so we'll see how it is. So
I think our colors here are actually nicer than we've had some colleagues up north say your colors down here are
right.
Much better than up north.
So they I don't think we're at peak colors yet, are we?
I think we are.
Right around there. Yeah, the wind this week might take care of some of that, though. It sounds like
it's going to be a windy week.
Yeah. Well, let's get to some of the top stories right now. UW-Baraboo closing. We learned that last Friday. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I talked about it the last time you were on the program, thinking that, you know, obviously you couldn't see the future. But did that come as a surprise to you, Tony?
It didn't, to be very honest with everybody. It's just the numbers. I mean, if you look, and we've talked about it over and over, Phil, about the demographics. And, you know, over the last 10 years, the UW system has 16 10,000 fewer students than they did 10 years ago. Now, also, let's talk about K-12, because K-12 has 60,000 less students than they did 10 years ago. And once again, it's just demographics. We're having a lot lower birth rates, and so we just don't have the kids like we did years ago. And Baraboo, I kind of saw the writing on the wall, to be very honest, because if you looked at their enrollment numbers that came out in September, they were very, very low. And so now they are the eighth campus of the 13 to close. I personally think you're going to see others, because it's just the numbers. It's just they're competing for X number of students, and those number of students are much lower.
People on the other side will say, though, it's recruitment. Like, they don't have the recruiters out there. They're not paying them. What's your response to that?
Recruiters are one thing, but the fact of the matter is it is all demographics. Once again, at the height when Richland, and like I said, it tore me up when we had to close Richland, but once again, at the point when Richland closed, you had roughly 60 students. When you put that into math, it's like $60,000 per student is what we were paying per student. That's very similar to what Baraboo is. I understand people talk about recruiting. At the height of when the two-year campuses were really doing great, we didn't have online learning. We had a lot larger pool of people graduating high school. One difference is now we have online learning. We have kids that are learning a whole lot differently than they did even 10, 15, 20 years ago. And once again, the biggest issue is just the sheer numbers. And in 2026, you and I have talked about this before, the state of Wisconsin will have the lowest graduating high school class in 2026 than we've ever had. And if you look at that trend, it only gets worse. When you and I were born, I mean, you and I were both born in the 60s, you know, the birth rate was basically 25 babies for every 1,000 people. That birth rate now is 15 for every 1,000 people. So just the sheer demographics is what's causing the biggest problem with this. I know people will say, oh, it's funding, funding, funding. Funding does not fix demographics. I, you know, we can talk until nauseam about it. We just don't have the numbers. And the UW system as a whole has a very large footprint. And unfortunately, that has to shrink. And part of this very uncomfortable, horrible process is some of these two-year campuses are the result of this.
Don, would you like to comment?
Yeah, the chancellor, Pleville Chancellor Tammy, called me Wednesday. She's really good about keeping us in the loop. My district borders Platteville, so, and I have the M, as we call it, in my district. So she's very good about letting her legislators know what's going on. And we meet every quarter down there, Howard, Senator Mark Lyne, and Representative Tranel and I. We knew this was coming. They were down to 126 students, I think. The difference is, though, I think with maybe Richland and Sauk, is Sauk County was ready for this. They knew it was coming because of the demographics. So the county had already done a study on what to do with the facilities. And I believe that's co-op owned by both of the city maybe and the county. So they've been working together. They knew it was coming, so they weren't surprised. And I think they're a little ahead of the game of what they're going to do with the property. And I agree totally with Tony. The demographics, and this is it's in our school systems too, our dropping enrollment is becoming such a big problem. And, you know, this it's always, we'll just give us more money. It's funding problem. And no, yeah, I totally agree with Tony. It's we don't have our kids. I've only got out of 14 school districts, I only got one school district that's growing. The rest are dropping. I looked at this third Friday enrollments that just came out, and I've got some problems. I don't, but some of these school districts got some problems. We can't keep filling in that gap. and which is handing more money every year. We've got to figure that out. So we're seeing the effects at the university systems, like the two-year campuses. I think by a decade, they'll all be closed. I think there'll be some universities that will contract or whatever. And also, I think the tech schools, though, are holding pretty steady from what I'm hearing. I haven't heard much about the tech schools, but they're so specialized. They're getting more into the specialized area of turning out welders and really changing their curriculum to match the demands of what's needed out there. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting few years, unless people start having more kids, I guess. And Tony's way too old for that. But it's just, and I don't know. There's not an easy answer. We can sit here all day, and there's just not an easy answer.
I'm curious, which district is growing in your area?
Darlington.
Darlington. Okay.
Yeah, they're growing quite a bit. So.
And for what reason, or can you see that?
Lafayette County is like the most ag-dependent county in the state, and it's all, they have a lot of farm workers and families and stuff that are growing, and so it's, yeah, they're growing.
And of my 18, I have 18 school district that, you know, our 41st Assembly District touches. I mean, there's only... Wisconsin Dells is really my only one that's growing. Reedsburg is got a slight growth. So of my 18, you know, I'm very similar to what's Todd saying. So, you know, I want to emphasize this. When we talk about, you know, 16,000 fewer UW students, 60,000 fewer K-12 students, these aren't students moving out. You know, I got to make sure people understand that people aren't moving out. It's just we just don't have the birth rates that we had, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that people are having less kids. And it's not a Wisconsin problem. It's not a Midwest problem. You look around the United States, you really look around the world. There are some European countries, you know, they talk about a replacement rate, and I hate to get kind of crude, but basically it's what it replaces the population. It's basically two, you know, babies per person, per woman. And in Europe, there's some places that are like one. You know, if they say the replacement rate's two, you know, in the United States, we're about 1.6. So, you know, this is a much bigger trend than just the state of Wisconsin. You know, the entire nation, and especially a lot of civilized countries, are actually dealing with the same thing. So.
And I think, too, and Howard knows this number because he touts it a lot. I think we lost 50,000 students in the state of Wisconsin that never came back after COVID. I think that's what it is. If it's around that, if it isn't, Howard could go right down to it if he was here. But we lost a lot of students that didn't come back to school after COVID that are now being homeschooled, mm-hmm. and that makes a huge difference. Where they all went, we don't know. But I think the statistics on homeschooling has gone way up. And so there's so many options out there that a lot of students, a lot of parents are making choices not to send their children to public schools. So that's a difference too, but the birth rate is the number one factor.
Switching gears a little bit, another topic is, you know, ambulance services and EMS. I know Richland County has a meeting tonight. I think they have a thing going on today at Boaz at 10 o'clock this morning too. But what have you heard about, you know, ambulance services and EMS?
Well, this statewide? Has been an issue not just now. I mean, this is, once again, a trend statewide. We're having a strain on EMS. And the vast majority of our EMS service, you know, for years were volunteer. Now we're going to more of a paid on call. It costs money. It's expensive, you know, between the cost of labor, between the cost of training, between the cost of equipment and maintaining facilities. So, you know, over the last several budgets, we've actually tried to reinforce a lot more funding for EMS. Two budgets ago, we pulled more federal money down to help some EMS providers. This budget, Senator Markline, along with Representative Novak and I, we had a couple bills last week with like First Responders Appreciation Day in the Assembly. Some of the bills that we got across the finish line that we're just waiting for the governor to sign would. A lot of people don't realize that when an EMS, you know, an ambulance goes out to a scene, they may treat somebody, but yet that individual that was treated can deny a transportation. And the vast majority of commercial insurance, if you don't get transported in the ambulance to a medical facility, you don't get reimbursed. So Medicaid's a little different. You know, if they do they treat you, but yet they don't transport you, Medicaid pays up to $69. Well, $69, that has not been updated for over 20 years. One of the bills we got passed, and once again waiting for the governor to sign, would increase that reimbursement rate from $69 to $175. So if somebody does come out, they get treated, and yet they don't get transported, at least there's going to be some funds going to those EMS providers. It's interesting, I was telling you before we went on air, I've got some areas like the Delton, Dells area, over 33% of their calls actually do not get transported. So you just imagine that, you know, a third of your calls, you're not transporting anybody, and there's potential not being reimbursed of this. So this was a way to get more money for those non-transport calls. The other thing is we're going to provide money for training, and we're also going to make sure right now in our area, let's say Southwest Tech or even Madison Area Technical College puts on a class for EMRs or for EMTs or for paramedics. If for some reason they don't fill that class, they'll actually cancel the class. And, you know, for like a Madison or Milwaukee, that's not a real big deal. But when you cancel a class here, especially when those individuals are taking their time out to come out and do the class, you know, it's a big deal. So what we would do is we would actually make sure the tech colleges holds the class. We will backfill those seats, but also then we would open those statewide to anybody that needs that training. Because once again, it is something, a statewide problem, and this is just some ways to get some more funding and training opportunities for those providers.
Todd?
Yeah, every ambulance service in my district is dealing with the same thing. A lot of mine are going to full-time to help, which is expensive, but you have to go there. I know when I finished my term as mayor in Dodgeville, we were transitioning to full-time because that's part of the problem, especially in the very rural EMS districts, is, you know, they can't afford to go to full-time, but they don't have the staff. So we're running into some real problems. And I think, you know, coming when I got elected in 2014 to compared to now, we've really worked hard every session to change the EMS rules and try to get more money in EMS and stuff so we can have more people go to training and join these crews. And I think it all comes down to how we get them to where they need to be. It's just, you know, I've heard it several times myself of, you know, they'll call for an ambulance and nobody, you know, they don't get a full crew, so they have to call the town 20 miles away to have them come out. And especially in my rural areas, that happens more frequently, and it's very unfortunate. So we've got to pull every tool out of the toolbox to try to help these areas.
Well, that's the importance of the mutual aid agreements. I mean, yeah. Especially with some of our smaller rural fire departments, you know, they are really struggling for volunteers. And one of the bills that I have introduced and it's working through the legislative process is to allow districts, fire and EMS districts, basically at least eight municipalities could join together, and then they could do right now they can do that, but this would provide a little bit more funding flexibility to help with the funding, because that in the end it's expensive. And like Todd said, you know, years ago when you had more of a volunteer base, that's a lot more reasonable, obviously cost wise, than going with a full time. And you're seeing a lot of our EMS providers having to go to a full time because, once again, you just don't have the volunteers like we had 10, 15 years ago. And once again, it's more expensive because you're paying people a full time salary.
It's a crisis situation, though. I mean, I understand some of these townships, they really, their hands are tied, but they can't really afford it.
Well, and the thing is, and Todd can correct me if because he's the local government, I mean, townships are required to provide.
Yeah, right.
EMS. And so it is expensive. And I think, once again, this kind of piggybacks on the conversation we had a few minutes ago about demographics. I truly want people that are listening to think about 10, 20 years ago and the number of volunteer organizations that just like I said, they relied on, it doesn't matter if it's American Legion, if it's the VFW, if it's the Lions Club, if it's your fire department. We don't have the volunteers like we did 10, 15, 20 years ago. And why? Is it because, once again, demographics, we don't have the numbers, people are so busy, there's so many different things going on. You know, fill in the blank. It's a combination of things. It's just, I said this to a group a few months ago, there's probably going to be a point, especially in rural areas. I mean, you're already seeing in some of the our cities where you might have to have a full-time fire department. And that's where I don't think, as constituents, we go, oh, what does that look like? Well, it's expensive, all right, and it costs money. Otherwise, you know, what's the alternative? To your point, when we dial 911, we expect somebody to pick the phone up, and we expect somebody to hopefully come out to our house. In some parts of northern Wisconsin, there was, especially last year, when you dialed 911, you might have got somebody to answer the phone, but you didn't have somebody coming out. And I think that's where that is a basic function of the government is, you know, we need to provide security and protection to our constituents. And part of that is making sure that when you dial 911, someone's going to be picking up the phone, but also someone's going to be coming out to help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, life or death situation. And Todd, too, full-time people, I mean, they're going to expect a decent wage. I mean, that's...
Oh, it's not cheap, full benefits, yeah, and everything. But, you know, you need them, and anybody that does that kind of work, yeah, they should make good money and stuff like that. And they're on call usually 12, 24-hour shifts, and so it's not an easy job. So I admire anybody, but to Tony's point, it's EMTs, fire, everything, there's just not the people out there anymore. And even your little festivals that used to be 10,000 people to the town for the weekend, they can't get people to volunteer to help anymore. Yeah. And people are getting, the people that did all this stuff are getting older. So it's I don't know, it's a demo, in total, we can go back to like schools. There's just not the people out there that used to be. And people like Tony and I are getting old and we can't do stuff anymore. I mean, it's just we got to make a lot. There's going to be a lot of adjustments, I would say, coming up in the next 10, 15 years.
So. But also, Phil, to your point about, you know, so the training curriculum for EMRs, these are folks that come out and, you know, basically provide the first aid. You know, these are your first responders to the scene. And, you know, EMTs, you know, paramedics, the training requirements for them, they look at like scope of practice and the different things that they have done over the years. That hasn't been, the training hours have not been updated. So last year, the medical examining board in the state of Wisconsin for the EMS providers, they actually updated a lot of the training requirements. So that added now more training to our EMRs, our paramedics, our EMTs. And so same thing with our, you know, you got a wonderful fire department here in Richland Center. Once again, those young men and women that volunteer to be in there, they have certain training requirements they have to do. I mean, they're basically doing everything that a full-time person is doing in Milwaukee or Madison, but yet they're doing it on a volunteer basis, and that is all out of the goodness of their own heart. And so to Todd's point, it costs money. And so if you take that model of those folks being volunteers and now you move them to a paid, it is a shock because, you know, people complain about costs and obviously property taxes and things like that. Well, if you want the service, it has to be paid for. And right now we have truly benefited from so many volunteers for so many decades that, I mean, I wish I had a better answer. I don't. It's just something that I know for Todd and I and Senator Markline, and it doesn't matter who you are, these are some of the things that we have to struggle with, but we also, it keeps you up at night because it is an issue.
If you do go to some sort of districts and things like that, would you face a referendum then?
The districts would work is if you could all form a district and all municipalities would have to obviously agree to it. But obviously, if you wanted to raise the funds to pay for it, you would actually have to go to a referendum. In other words, so the eight districts, you know, if it's the city of Richland Center and eight townships around, yes, they would have to form a district, and then yes, they would have to go to the voters and say, hey, we need, you know, $10 per person. The voters would have to approve that, just like they do have to do for school referendums. And I think, in my humble opinion, that gets the community more involved in what is going on, because if it's going to cost you money, you should have a say in that. And that's one of the things we're working on right now. We had a good hearing. We're just waiting to do a couple little changes on that bill and then introduce the amendment to that.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll be back with more in a moment with Representatives Kurtz and Novak on today's morning show.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must, and Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Having at least one major credit card and using it responsibly is a great way to build healthy credit. At WCCU Credit Union, we recognize that different lifestyles require different options. If you like to keep it simple, we offer a Platinum card. However, if you enjoy earning perks, you'll love our Ruby Rewards or Emerald Cashback cards. Both come with great ways to earn points and some free travel insurance, too. At WCCU, not only do we offer some of the best Visa and MasterCard programs, but we also service them locally with people you know and trust. With holiday shopping and traveling coming up, now's a great time to apply online for your card at wccu.coop. Or for more information, visit any of our WCCU offices.
Helping you feel.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com. and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
Badgerland Flooring of Southwest Wisconsin was started in 2008 with a goal of helping Richland County and the surrounding areas with all their flooring needs. Since then, our business has expanded from our showroom to the variety of work by offering full kitchen and bathroom remodels, tiled walk-in showers, along with quartz, laminate, and granite countertops. After 17 years, we still say, if you can dream it, we can build it. So stop in or call us today and let Badgerland Flooring of Southwest Wisconsin make your dreams become reality.
Farming has no set hours, no weekends off. The work can feel endless, but wrapping up that last acre makes it all worth it. At Rank Seed, we get it. We know the pain and joy of farming because our family's been doing it since 1846. Our seed will work as hard as you do. We think you'll crack a smile when the combine rolls. Rank Seed. Results since 1846.
Do you know a veteran in need? Nation's Finest, through the VA's Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, helps veterans and their families struggling with rent, employment, and other housing-related costs. Today, Nation's Finest operates more than 30 locations in California, Arizona, and Nevada, helping thousands of veterans every year. Visit nationsfinest.org or call 1-833-468-9676. That's 1-833-468-9676.
On the morning show from WRCO Radio, we have Tony Kurtz and Todd Novak representing the 41st and 51st districts, respectively. We've tackled some pretty heavy issues here so far in our area. Prisons, that's another big topic statewide, Tony.
Yeah, I know that's something that we've looked at, and I obviously in the state budget we talked about closing Green Bay, which needs to be closed. It's something that I know the governor wants to do. I know we have a couple of our colleagues, Representative Stefan, Representative Bourne, are very passionate about looking at the prison system. I will say this, it's kind of funny. On Saturday, I was out and about in the district up by Linden Station for their fire department's open house and talked to a couple prison guards from the new Lisbon facility. And I just asked them, I said, how's things going? And he said, you know, we're doing pretty well. And, you know, same thing with Boscobel, you know, those vacancy rates for a lot of those prisons, even New Lisbon, which is a medium security, they were at a point of 30%. You know, I know Boscobel was at a, you know, almost 40%. Those have actually, the vacancy rates are a lot better. They're less than like 1%, 2% at those locations respectively. The big problem still is Green Bay and Waupun. Those are our oldest prisons. What I always try to tell people is, those prisons, if you ever saw the movie Shawshank Redemption, those prisons were literally built in the late 1800s. And so they need to be taken down. It's just, what's the replacement for that? And there's a lot of good ideas out there, but the bottom line is just getting both parties at the table to find out and hammer something out that what are we going to do? It's going to be expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, I will just tell you this, you know, a new prison is well over $1 billion. If we remodel Waupun, it's still going to be $600-800 million to do that. So either way we do it, we need to do it right. But part of that equation and part of that conversation is closing Green Bay. And then what do we do with Waupun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it comes down to two different, you know, we do need to build. I'm for building, replacing those prisons. You know, and part of it comes down to the governor has a different philosophy that we should let more people out to deal with some of the overcrowding up there, which doesn't really sit well with a lot of folks. So there's that dynamic of this too. And it's not easy. We voted, I don't know if Tony was in there, to close Lincoln Hills up north, which is a juvenile detention center. And it was supposed to be closed by now, and we found out, even working with Governor Evers, I think we voted to close it under Governor Walker, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's supposed to be closed by now, but working with the governor, and that's something we're all on page to close this, it takes a long time to figure out what we're going to do with offenders. And so there's not an easy solution, but definitely Waupun and Green Bay need to be replaced. Green Bay is terrible. It's, you're talking Wild West type prison, just like Tony said, the movie, old movies. And it's overcrowded and there's some issues, but the vacancy rates have come way down as far as staffing, and we really increased wages a lot in the last couple budgets. And so that helped tremendously because they weren't making what they should have, and they were working so many hours of overtime and they were burning themselves out. So we kind of, at least around here, addressed those vacancy problems as far as staff.
Talk about another tough job. That is one right there, too.
I've toured prisons before. I wouldn't want that job for – they deserve every penny they make. I've been to Boscobville, and they do a good job down there, but I wouldn't I wouldn't do that job for nothing. I went to visit Tony. I'm kidding.
But part of the Lincoln Hills and the juvenile facilities, it's, you know, some people, it's kind of goes back to the not in my backyard. You know, so we've had a lot of problems with where do you place a new facility. And just like, you know, if we do build a new prison, it should be somewhere in that Waupun Green Bay area because of the workforce. I mean, all the guards and correctional officers that work in that area, we want to make sure that if something does get remodeled or built, it's going to be up in that area because of the skills of those correctional officers. And it's interesting, even Richland County, I mean, I've gone door to door in this beautiful city, and there's people right here living in Richland Center that work at Boscobel. And so there's more in this community than people think about, you know, working and driving back and forth.
Another thing you wanted to talk about, some grants that are available. Do you want to explain
that?
So,
between the federal government, state government, I mean, everything's going to grants, and there's a reason for that. But what we find is our larger communities, like Reedsburg, you know, a little over 10,000 people, you know, they have somebody on staff that actually kind of do grants. Whereas, you know, somebody here in Richland Center, you're not going to have anybody dedicated to doing grants. So what we're finding, our larger communities have that skill set within their group. Our smaller communities don't. So Senator Markline and I introduced this to the tail end of last session, and it passed the Assembly. It did not get a vote in the Senate. This time, we tweaked it, and basically what it was, we will provide grants for communities below 7,500. So, you know, it could be Bloom Township, or it could be this, you know, the city of Richland Center could apply. It's going to be a very simple form. It's going to be like a one-page form to say, hey, we want to apply for XYZ grant, and the state would provide up to $5,000 for, you know, Richland Center could actually go out and get a grant writer and pay that individual to actually write the grant, to do all the due diligence of what they're looking for in the grant. And it would just give a lot of our smaller communities kind of a level playing field with some of our larger communities that have that skill in-house. And so that's something we got great bipartisan support. It's something I think will probably pass in the Assembly probably in November. And I can't believe the governor wouldn't sign something like this.
So. You have a lot of communities in your district that are 7,500 or less.
Oh, yeah. And I'm on the Southwest Regional Planning Commission. I'm a commissioner. I've represented Iowa County for 15 years. And they do a lot of grant writing to help a lot of these communities now. But I think, too, you know, we're talking some of these townships, they have a town board, a patrolman, and a clerk treasurer, and that's it. Nobody has and there's money sitting there that they could maybe access, and different grants, and they don't have anybody to write it for them. Because some grants are very complicated, and, you know, so I know that Southwest Regional Planning, like I said, they help a lot of municipalities write grants, but we need to help our municipalities, or small ones especially, try to get every dollar they can. And we've come to this realization, and I'm glad we need it. Tony's right. We used to put these pots of money out there, and they'd be gobbled up by the Madisons and the Milwaukees of the world. And I'm on the WEDA board, the housing board. I represent the Assembly. And one of the reasons I wanted on there is because all this huge amounts of money for housing was going to Milwaukee, and Madison and Senator Quinn, who's up north, he's on too. And we really push. We need to come up with programs and get money to the rural areas for housing. And I've seen a change in that too. There's a weeded development going up in Dodgeville, and I think I got one in Lafayette County. And that's what our big push is, like Tony and I and Howard, to get this money out here. That's why it's important. And that's why they created, we all worked on AREP for rural roads, is because all this funding was getting taken up. I always tell people out here, we could live off what they spend in Southeast Wisconsin mm-hmm. for roads, oh, yeah. seriously. And, it's a fight for rural legislators to try to get that some of that pot. So this is just a small piece, but it'll help our smaller municipalities.
Does the money have to be used for a specific thing, these grants?
Well, let me take that back. It has to be used for – it can be used for cybersecurity. It could be used for infrastructure, you know, roads, you know, a treatment plant, whatever. It just has to be used for infrastructure. But we did put the cybersecurity thing in there because that is obviously, in our day and age, that's getting to be, unfortunately, more and more of an issue, especially for a lot of our smaller municipalities. You know, I know there's a county that actually has some issues with cybersecurity attack right now. So those are the type of things that we also help, and they can apply for a grant to help with that as well.
This government shutdown thing that's going on, you know, we've been hearing about that for 3 weeks now. What have you heard? Anything, any sign of that changing, Tony?
I'm a little surprised it's gone on as long as it has. I mean, it hasn't affected anything right now. It has affected some that I'm aware of. I know there's some issues with some of our hospitals right now with some of the way they pull down federal money that – not an issue yet, but if it continues on much longer, it could be an issue. But I wish it get over too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I think that's the. I didn't think it'd last this long, yeah. But this is the part of politics that I don't like. It's just there's no reason this is happening, but for political reasons, and the public is the ones that suffer. Yep. And it right now, I mean, it's manageable, but if it goes on too much longer, I think there's going to be some pain, and it's going to come down to our level. So,
and I think that's why I think we both try to stress that fortunately the state of Wisconsin is not in that situation. If for some reason, you know, we can't do a budget, or if we can't, all we do is stay under the old budget. And so we will never, ever, you know, it's on our Constitution that we can't, you know, shut down. And I think that's something that I personally value as a state. We should be very proud that we will continue. And but I do think, to Todd's point, they need to get both sides at the table and work something out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's easy for us on the outside to think about why, you know, it just makes sense. Why can't they get anything done?
Well, and it makes it harder because it gives a perception that that's the way things are. I mean, in all levels of government, and that's not true. I mean, Tony and I have no problem. We work together with the other side of the aisle, and we're actually, mm-hmm. People think we all hate each other. And at least at our level, at the state level, most of us are friends. We may argue at a committee hearing or on the floor, but some of my closest friends up there are on the other side of the aisle in a party. But this gives all people in my position a bad look because they think we're all like this, and we truly aren't in the state of Wisconsin. I don't think in this assembly, at least, or the Senate. And Tony's right. Budget's supposed to be done by June 30th. I think the latest since I've ever been in office, we passed one in September, or end of August or September. Everything kept rolling. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I want to stress, to Todd's point, every bill I've talked about, they've all been bipartisan. The bills Todd's talked about, they've all been bipartisan. And I think that, unfortunately, you know, we focus on the negative all the time. But, you know, 94% of our bills will all have bipartisan support of the state of Wisconsin. So I think that's a good thing.
And sometimes you only hear a part of the story.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's true.
We'll be on the floor in a session in the assembly, and let's say, for example, have 40 bills up that day, and they'll all pass bipartisan unanimously. maybe a couple speeches here or there, but there'll be one bill we get hung up on for a half hour, 45 minutes, and we're going back and forth, and that's the front page of the paper, and that leads to nightly news. And that's kind of what's frustrating with me. And I tell people this, especially when I'm doing doors, they say, why can't you guys get along? And I said, we do. It's called in my world theater, and Tony knows that. We live it, and it's just what it is, you know. And I wish people could really see the inside of how we work together and the things we do. So
absolutely.
And you could be, I could be debating a Democrat on the other side over a bill and hollering at each other, not nasty, but and then 5 minutes after we're done, we're back in the back of the assembly parlor eating lunch together. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's today. How are the kids? What are you doing this weekend?
I mean, reminds me of the old cartoon, you know, Ralph and Sam.
But it's true. I mean, you know, when I, especially during the budget time, I go to Madison, and I also typically stay Tuesday and Wednesday night because I'm, you know, and the place I stay is right next to the Capitol, and Democrats are there, and we actually sit down and have breakfast together. I know I know that's shocking to people, but those are the type of things that actually do happen, and unfortunately doesn't get necessarily covered.
I'm not so sure it happens in D.C. like that, but it does in Madison.
Yeah. Again, I would guess you're probably right there. Yeah. Somebody had a question about the current Blue Book. How's the best way to get one of those?
So Blue Books, we just, 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago.
A brand new shipment. And so just contact myself or Representative Movac or Senator Kieski or Senator Markline. We'd be happy to get one. Matter of fact, when I'm done today, that's what I have a list of a couple Blue Books that I'm going to be dropping off here in the Richland Center. So please just contact our office. We'd be happy to get you one.
Yeah, and we'll get it to you either. I'll mail. I like to deliver the ones I can personally, and in my district, or mail them out. We'll get them one.
Good trivia stuff in there. Todd, you were named to the Speaker's Task Force on Elder Services. I saw that in one of your releases.
Yeah.
It's very fitting.
Yeah.
I just turned 60, so that's, I think.
Boom.
And I've been, even before I was elected to assembly, I've been very involved with elder services, ADRCs, and social services when I was at the newspaper. I've been a court-appointed volunteer guardian for elder people that can't take care of themselves, their finances or health decisions, probably 30, 35 years. And I'm on the ADRC board in Iowa County. Elder issues are very important, and as we have an aging population, which we talked about earlier, that are affecting the Democrats or demographics. I apologize. We need to make sure they're well taken care of. I was on a Speaker's Task Force on Alzheimer's and dementia before, and so this is something that's in my wheelhouse that I really care about truly. So, and I think our first hearing's in a couple weeks. Maybe one out here. They're talking about having one somewhere in Southwest Wisconsin. So we want to talk to the local people involved and with elder services and the ADRCs and stuff, and saying what do you need, what can we do, and then we'll put out a package of bills to helpfully address. And I'm assuming they will be bipartisan and work with the governor and get what we need to do.
Pretty important. I mean, we have a pretty older demographic here in the county and the city as well.
We do, and that's why to Todd's point about the ADRCs, tomorrow morning I'm going to go tour the ADRC up in Juneau County, and it's something that over the last two budgets we've provided more funding. I want to do more because obviously, to your point, we do have an aging population, and the ADRCs in our area do a tremendous amount of work. And they do great work.
Very good work.
Yep. Anything else either you'd like to add today? We've covered a lot of topics.
Are we done already?
Well,
one thing I do want to mention, this week we'll be introducing a bill. It's to provide and put on the radar more assistant district attorneys for communities. Last budget we added approximately 40, but my big gripe with the way we did that last in the budget was we were using older data, so they would do what they call a workforce analysis of how much work the ADAs have, the assistant district attorneys in everybody's office. The issue with that I have is for the 25-27 year budget, we are using data from 21, 22, and 23. In other words, we use an old data set for the 25-27 budget. And the excuse that I got was, well, that's the only data we have. Well, that's not necessarily true. New data comes out in July. So this year in July, we had the new data. So we could have done that different averages for 22-19, you know, the year 22, 23, and 24. And if we would have done that, like Richland Center would have got, you know, a little increase, and they would have got another 0.2% or 2.2 position for ADA. Sauk County would have got another one. And this bill basically would just say, hey, you got to use the most updated workflow analysis when you start putting ADA positions in the counties. And that's something, obviously our ADAs and our district attorneys do a tremendous work, but they need people in the office to help them make sure people are held accountable for the crimes they commit.
Mm-hmm. Todd, anything else you wanted to add today?
No, I agree. We need to support our courts and ADAs. And, you know, most of my county, I think all my counties are one county DAs and one county judges. And so it's important that especially we give the support. Lafayette County until 4 years ago only had the DA, no ADA. So we're fortunate to get one for that, so that's really important. So, but no, whatever Tony puts out, I'll support.
We got that on record now. So. All right, thanks guys for coming
in
today.
We'll see you next month.
Yeah, Tony Kurtz representing the 41st Assembly District and Todd Novak of the 51st Assembly District on today's morning show.
A funeral service can help us remember the person who died and share our unique memories with others, creating hope for the future. This is Nick Hodge of the Pratt Funeral Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. Our goal is to allow families to create a funeral service that recalls good moments and special times. We also want you to have a service that allows healing to begin. We are always willing to help at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center and Muscadet.
Looking for a career where tradition meets opportunity? Join the legacy at Scott Industries, a proud family-owned business celebrating 75 years. They're expanding and hiring dedicated team members. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 to 3 at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet, or call 739-3171 to learn more. Scott Industries, a profit-sharing company where you can grow your career.
The fall season is here. Time to think about getting your car ready for winter. When was the last time you had your coolant checked or flushed, got a tune-up, or checked your tires or alignment? Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. Stop and see us for all your fall service needs. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street in downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
The Richland Hospital and Clinics is now scheduling appointments for flu and COVID vaccines. Each location is accepting appointments. Call Richland Hospital Clinic, Muscadet Health Center, or Spring Green Medical Center for your appointment. Phone numbers are available at richlandhospital.com. Flu and COVID season is here. Help protect yourself and your community.
Keep your operation running strong during harvest season with Meyer Oil and LP. Since 1956, families and farms have trusted locally owned Meyer Oil and LP for prompt, reliable, and friendly service. They deliver diesel, gasoline, and propane right to your home or farm, helping you stay fueled and on track. Call Meyer Oil and LP today at 524-3914. From everyone at Meyer Oil and LP, here's wishing farmers a safe and successful harvest.
Bitech Incorporated of Monroe is hiring motivated truck drivers to service dairy and food processing facilities in Richland Center Arena and surrounding areas. Whether you're looking for full-time or part-time work, Bitech has opportunities for safe, dependable drivers with a CDLA and tanker endorsement. Enjoy training, solid benefits, and the chance to work with a respected company that values safety and reliability. Apply online today or call for an application at 608-328-8200 or 800-362-3484. That's Bitech Incorporated. Driving opportunity forward the greener way.
Mm-hmm.
Hillsboro Equipment sells outdoor power equipment, services outdoor power equipment, and takes care of the people who depend on their outdoor power equipment. With an 11,000 square foot shop, over $1 million in parts, and multiple trained technicians, Hillsboro Equipment will get you tuned up and ready to go. From the combines in the field to the lawnmower and chainsaw in your yard, they service it all, any make, any model. See the service experts at Hillsboro Equipment or call 489-2275.
To thrive and live well, you need a trusted partner in health and care when you need it. Amplify Health by Gunderson Basketball's growing family medicine team is here to offer both and welcomes new and existing patients at our Basketball, Fenimore, and Muscadet clinics. With extended hours and the convenience of same or next day appointments and online scheduling through MyChart, it's never been easier to prioritize your health and well-being. Amplify Health. A little empathy changes everything.
From high-quality seeds to specialized feed, Lime Ridge Ag Supply is here for you. Is your farm ready for next season? I'm Taylor Fearing with Lime Ridge Ag. We offer Rob Seco seeds and custom blends tailored to maximize your yield. Our skilled agronomists are here to help you every step of the way. For your livestock, we provide top feed brands including ADM ShowTech, Biozyme VitaFirm, and Early Bird Show feeds with trusted names like Umbarger, Sunglow, and Linder. We're here to help find the perfect feed for your operation. Lime Ridge Ag Supply, your partner in feed, seed, and success. Reach out today to get started on your farm's next steps.
The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy has exceptional caring staff and great services. They are a locally owned, independent pharmacy, proudly serving the surrounding area communities. The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy is committed to helping patients manage their medications. The pharmacists work along with patients and their healthcare providers to find an individualized plan to help each patient maximize the benefits of their medications while minimizing or preventing adverse effects, interactions, costs, and waste.
Drip, drip. Hear that? Don't let a small leak turn into a big problem. At Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, we're here 24/7 for all of your plumbing needs, repairs, replacements, and emergencies. You can trust Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, where your problem